Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez, with Derek Engler and UW Athletic Hall of Famer Tarek Sala. Here's Alex Gravatt.
Time to get ahead of ourselves. It's Overreaction Monday after week one in the NFL season and week two of college football. I'm Alex Gravatt, live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company in Fitchburg. I am joined by the biggest names in Wisconsin Badger football. We're going to start with the Rose Bowl champion, although all three of them are a Super Bowl participant. But I know him best for his highlighted work by John Madden. How's it going, Derek Engler?
It's going great. We just jumped right into the highlighted John Madden work.
Yeah, John Madden pointing you out, it was for nothing but good things, right?
Oh, yeah, nothing but good things. I have no idea what Engler is doing here. Yeah, that's perfect. You get circled by John Madden in that light, no bueno.
Another Rose Bowl champion, former Brown and Panther, first-round pick in the NFL's 1999 expansion draft. The all-time leader in sacks in Wisconsin Badger history and newly inducted member in the University of Wisconsin Hall of Athletics Hall of Fame. He is Tarek Sala. Tarek, you had a pretty big weekend, huh?
What a great weekend. Great weekend. We had a lot of fun. We got to celebrate with teammates, coaches. Coach Alvarez was a big part of why I'm in the Hall of Fame and grateful to him and my teammates. It was a special weekend with family and
I gotta jump in. Obviously, Tarek's energy is a little low right now.
Recovering.
Well, what do you mean? I'm like giving it, man.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it was an awesome weekend, and it was all about Tarek wanting to include his family, friends, and teammates. It was so important to him, and that's it really stems from Coach Alvarez. And the team he had and the way, he wanted his program, his guys, his players to be and how important it was and those relationships and bonds. And they, 30 years later, still intact. And we had, 20 guys from that 93 team back.
Yeah, it was a makeshift reunion.
It was totally super cool.
30-year deal. And we had some great settings where we got to sit and visit with Coach and reminisce about all the great times we had.
And you keep referring to him. And yes, special guest for tonight's edition of the Great Dane Huddle, the winningest football coach in Badgers history, former UW athletic director, and the man who intercepted a pass at Camp Randall in 1966 while a linebacker for Nebraska, Barry Alvarez. Barry, I hear you got chased down by an offensive lineman on that play?
Actually, I chased him down.
Oh!
I was running. I ran out of gas after about 20 yards. I got rigor mortis in my legs. I couldn't bend my knees. Legs are stiff. And I looked inside, and I saw a lineman running from the middle of the field. I think it was a lineman. I just turned and ran right at him. Ran into him. It was a 25-yard return, but I could have gone further. I couldn't run any further. So I just ran into him and got tackled.
See if you can't in it,
you
or maybe
punish
knock
him
over.
You
yeah.
Punish him.
Yep. Yeah. All right, well, it's been a big week, right? So the Badgers win 27-13 over South Dakota. It was an ugly win. The O-line looked like it was getting overpowered maybe a little bit, but they're staying out of the headlines. Notre Dame losing this past weekend, that was tough. The Packers lose 34-29 to the Eagles, narrowly miss a catastrophe with Jordan Love's knee. Sounds like an MCL sprain, 3 to 4 weeks, but today it was reported that maybe he hasn't been ruled out of this upcoming week's game.
Wow.
And then the Lions just look like they are going to own this division top to bottom, I feel like. But I'd love to get started with Badgers talk right away, right? You were on the field for much of this past game. Is that correct, Tarek?
I'd say quarter and a half.
And what was the environment, right? It was a sold-out game against an FCS school, so it should have been really raucous and rowdy. How did you feel down there?
I was just thrilled to be down there and to be honored and all that. I I didn't get a feel for the guys. I just got to see I saw the game a little bit and some of the sloppiness that was going on. You know, in certain, you know, second quarter and the third quarter, it got really bad. But then I went back to my seats. But it was somewhat disappointing. But there were certain things that, you know, were glaring that I think are fixable. I thought the quarterback got a little bit better. I thought some plays they got down the field more. And I think the center Derek struggled a little bit, but O-line wasn't as bad as I thought.
I got a chance to talk to one of Coach's former assistants and my former O-line coach, Jim Huber, afterwards. And we did some analysis. You know, I think there were some cuts. There was some vision by the backs that we need to dial up a little bit. And obviously the transfer
kid.
Yeah, Walker was out. You had Iacomelli, who I think did some good things. I thought we'd see Malusi more. I need to see the line of scrimmage change more. I just don't see that yet in the first two games against Western Michigan, South Dakota. That's really where, you should dominate. You should see the whole damn front of the line move, and you don't. You just don't. And, I mean, you see some things, and it might be the style of the offense, Coach. I don't know.
I'm not sure, but the one thing I saw, there was no one running free at the line of scrimmage. We covered everyone up, but we didn't get movement at the line of scrimmage. I agree with you. I thought our two backs really ran hard. Now, I do think they missed some cuts. There were some cuts at the line of scrimmage. They get him to the linebacker level,
and they're
making the wrong cut.
Yep.
Instead of getting it and getting one-on-one with a safety 10 yards down the field, they're running into somebody. So a lot of things that can be corrected, but the fact that they were covering people up, you can clean a lot of that up. I thought it was an improvement, much better than a year ago. We had guys running free when we went into the first game. It was much better, a little cleaner this week. Take another step.
I love the pass protection. I mean, there was times where I was counting 8 seconds. I mean, I love the pass protection. To your point, Coach, they were covering guys up. They're protecting the quarterback. I think we're all anticipating some more production from this, Phil Longo offense.
Yeah, and in that last drive of the second quarter, they were just so close from scoring the touchdown, and these things are fixable. The quarterback missed the tight end out a little further, and he went to the back and the check down. Then he ran with the ball and he slipped. And these little things, you just got to tighten them up and score in the red zone. Now we're up, I think, 21-3, and that gives you more momentum going into the second half. And then we fell apart in the third quarter and then recovered.
The two things that really stood out to me, and you've mentioned them both, right? TVD, he looks a little bit more comfortable back there after week one. Maybe that's the 8 seconds of time, like you said, Derek. But also that front needs to create space specifically in the red zone, because that's where you need to just go out and be bigger and meaner and stronger. We saw it last night on Sunday Night Football with the Detroit Lions. They ran harder. They ran bigger.
That's one of the best NFL offensive lines there is right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
In the last handful of years, I'd
Penny
say.
Penny Sewell was out, wasn't he? I didn't see him out there.
I believe he was out. He had a fill-in. So 844-770-3776. This is the Great Dane Huddle. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Rose Bowl champions Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and the former UW athletic director and head coach Barry Alvarez. What were you saying, Tarek?
No, I like the pistol formation. Quarterback, 4 yards, the back behind him. You get the motion that we're used to.
Love the play to C.J. Williams. Loved it. I mean, that was RPO. I mean, that was perfect, because even at the end, he's still running with it. That defense had to honor that, and boom, C.J.'s running down the sideline.
And he sold it with that tuck. That was really nice.
It was excellent.
Now, this 27-13 win might not be quite as exciting or as explosive as what a lot of us had hoped for. And Tarek, you were mentioning on Crosstalk that maybe this is a wake-up call. Barry, when there have been things like this, right, when there have been games like this in your time, early season, maybe a little bit of a struggle, what is your message going through that game? After the game, you're like, okay, it's a win. But
Coach, we talked about SMU last week, by the way. I know you couldn't join us last week, but we talked about SMU. I mean, that's your – we win the Big Ten. I mean, you can talk about – I mean, we've been through those.
Yeah. Well, if you talked about it, you knew that SMU would just come off the death penalty. And we go down there, and we're struggling. It was either tied or we were behind at half and came out and won. But we hadn't won a road game in a long time. So I try to be positive about it. I didn't want to beat the whole team up.
Over the years, how many, you know, all these nine, and not only you, but Brett and Paul, of course, too, you know, these early games, non-conference games, whether it's a MAC school, a Cal Poly we talked about, yeah, I think a Citadel. I mean,
they're cranked up. Your guys are sleepwalking.
Right.
You do not, as a coach, want to get a team cranked up to go play these guys. You got to save those games and your energy and emotion for Big Ten games. You want to go out and execute and you feel like you should just be able to handle them. Sometimes it's not quite as pretty as you like, but you just want to go out, make sure you win the football game. You like to get better every week. That's the important thing. You corrected mistakes from the week before, because you'll take a look at it on Sunday. You're going to find a ton of mistakes.
And we're not alone. I mean, Oregon's had two. Alabama was in a dogfight.
Yeah, there are teams that lose those.
Notre Dame lost.
Northern Illinois. You know, I mean, it's college football. In this day and age.
Talk about Bielema. I remember, you know, having Travis Frederick at center and, you know, Cons and all these guys, all these NFL offensive linemen, and
Oregon State
comes in and like takes us to the wire. We found a way to win, I believe. And people are like, "This is awful. This team's not, you know." And we're like, "Settle down a little bit here." And
you know what? The normal fan wants to come in a game like that, sit down, have a cocktail, and go down the field, score, stop them, go down the field and score, and relax because the game's over. And now we're just going to play back and forth, get to see some of our backup guys later in the game. That's not the way it is.
Yeah.
And the coaches don't – well, they'd like to do it that same thing too, but those other guys are on scholarship too. And those coaches are working hard. And you have to watch – you got to really plan out when you're going to pull out and try to get your team emotional to play. And that's Big Ten play. It's not playing – whoever we're playing, Northern Illinois or whoever.
I was born and raised in South Dakota, and this stood out to me. And I said it to a couple guys. I said, as soon as jump around came on, you know, usually we see the opponents, they're going crazy, right? Not one of those University of South Dakota players. They were honed in with their coaches. Nobody's messing around. That's how important it was. This is an FCS school, a great one. But you know what?
Top four in the country.
There's a lot of pride there, you know, and they came to play.
Derek, that's a good coach who touched all the bases. He knew and scouted. He knew what goes on here, and he addressed his team about that. They're going to play this jump around. They're going to go crazy at the end of the third period. I don't want you guys to get into that. You concentrate on the game. You got another quarter to play, and they're playing their fannies off. They don't need to be jumping around like most of the teams that come in here. The coaches take the other way. Get into it. Have fun with it. The guys are jumping around, carrying around like a bunch of idiots. These guys stayed into the game.
Amen. Yeah, they were ready to play. And you know what? I mean, that's, to me, and I heard Coach Fickell talk about this. He goes, that is one of the most difficult run offenses that I've tried to coach against. It just from whatever schematically or what have you, maybe not talent, of course, but you know, I think we read too much into these early games. A win's a win. What I like is the lack of penalties. Yeah. The lack of penalties is very, very important. We've had the special teams turnover. Can't do that against Bama. We cannot do that against Bama. But
you gotta get one.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. Amen, Coach. I was talking about that with Tark. We got to get some turnovers defensively.
I'm glad you brought up Bama, and I want to talk about Bama in just a moment. We're going to talk about that next, but I want to also talk about getting more for your pour. And the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is a Madison's original brewing and award-winning craft beers for 30 years. And now every Monday through Thursday from 3 until 6, enjoy 20-ounce pints of their flagship beers for only $3. From Crop Circle Wheat, Good Dog IPA, to the Old Glory APA, Head to one of their locations, Fitchburg, downtown, Hilldale, and East Madison, and enjoy a bigger and better happy hour today. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. Live from Fitchburg, it is the Great Dane Huddle rolling on today on your Monday. Reacting to the football weekend, we had a Badgers game where it was slow but steady. Badgers 27-13 win over South Dakota. And then, of course, the Packers do not make it out of Sao Paulo with a win. They do make it out of Sao Paulo with Jordan Love's knee intact. We'll get to that another time. But Tarek Saleh inducted into the UW Hall of Fame this past weekend. And you said you needed to work on your W a little bit.
Yeah, well, I looked at it when I at the film, and I had more of the crossbar, which I now learned, you know, is more the University of Miami. You got to get your thumb up an angle to make the W.
You know what's crazy about this is this just came up tonight, and Tarek and I have been around Coach obviously for 30 years, did not know this story. And Coach, I'm going to let you just tell this because this was I think 2009 Champs Sports Bowl in Orlando, Coach Bielema. You know, they got the rectangle, like, field goal U down.
That's
there, right?
The U. So wherever you went in Miami, they'd flash the U. And Brett and I were, you know, we'd go to the luncheons. We had a lot of functions that we're responsible to go to. And we'd go, and they'd flash the U. And Brett and I both looked at each other, and we put the U and then tilted the thumbs up to make a W. So we started giving it back to him. I never saw anybody do it before. And after seeing that U for a couple days, we started it. And I think we're the ones that started that.
Is that fantastic or what?
I love it.
I mean, and then, off air, we were talking about the motion W and how that got started. And Coach, I mean, that, you know, a coach, a really good head coach and a legendary coach has to wear a lot of different hats, obviously, but to brand as well, and what Coach Alvarez did is amazing here.
Yeah, Coach, you went through a couple iterations until you got the motion W right, correct?
I wanted to do something with our helmet. I just didn't want that block W. Nothing against the block W, but other schools have the block W. I wanted something that when they saw our logo, they knew it was Wisconsin. So we used Rayovac, their engineers, or their artists, or whoever it was. We gave them helmets, and they'd bring four or five helmets back two or three times a week with all these different designs. Some of them looked like these old race, they had flames on, they had all kinds of stuff. The old Badger on the front going back. They had everything you could imagine. But when they brought the one in, and I try to explain to them, I wanted something plain, but jump out at you, but not crazy. And when I saw that motion W, I said, that's it, right there. Boom, end of story. Let's go.
And, Coach, in contrast, think of the University of Minnesota. They don't know what they are. Every year they come out with a new helmet. They come out with, like, a gopher with big teeth. You know, next week, you know, it's a M. I mean, it's a reflection of their program where they really don't have an identity that's solid. Where we started with, you know, that motion W, and then obviously Coach – you know, bringing his identity, what he wanted this program to be like in order to win, and he did it. And now we still keep our identity, and that motion W is a big part of it.
I'm Alex Cravat alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and former UW Athletic Director Barry Alvarez. Now, we were talking a little bit about, before the break, what is going on with this Badgers team and this tough past week.
Why do you say it like that?
It was a tough weekend. I hosted the post-game show with Brad Nortman and Adam Mertz, and Mertzy was almost always joyous, seemed a little down. It felt hard to watch some of this game, specifically the third quarter.
The third quarter was tough.
As the team just got pushed around in the trenches, and Luke Fickell, this in the offseason, talked a little bit about some of his biggest learning moments coming from getting his ass kicked.
So I'm going to jump in here. And then Coach, of course, and Tarek, I'd love to hear what you say. But, what we know, you know, strong first half, we're going to come in that third quarter, and what we're going to do is we're going to punch you in the face. We're going to punch you in the face. We're going to go four. We're going to five. We might go three, but then we're going to bust it for 15, 17, and we're going to keep punching you in the face.
Running the ball.
And that didn't happen, obviously. Defensively, we know we're limited up front. There were some holes there that we cannot have against Alabama. Linebackers are way out of position, to your point, Tarek. You know, I don't know. I just think, you know.
That was a lesson. You can't roll your helmet out there and expect to get the same result as what you did in the first half. They came out in the first quarter good, and it kind of went a little bit down in the second, but it wasn't awful. And the third was awful. But that's kind of like, I think they rested on their laurels a little bit. They relaxed, and they're an active group coach, right? And as a defense, their speed and power, if you're not going out 100%, you know, the other guys
are
on scholarship, right?
Those other guys are on scholarship, too. And they're trying to prove that you screwed up by taking our guys instead of them. So they come in with a chip on their shoulder, and they're really motivated.
Oh, they were.
And if you're not motivated, you got a problem. Because these cats will hold up against you now, and you can see that. They shouldn't be able to stand in there and bang and beat on us and wear us down. But they can stay in the game and make it interesting and make things very tense. If you don't take care of your business, you're sloppy with the ball, you have penalties and all those things.
It's college football. South Florida's in the game against Alabama all the way midway fourth quarter in game.
That's right.
In the game. Oregon's got two now, barely getting out of it. You know,
I'm looking at November 16th with big eyes now.
I mean, I'm telling you, this is college football.
NIL brings more parity because people could – they have money, too. It's green. You know,
fast on some of this. And South Dakota team ain't buying anything.
No, yeah.
But they're giving them a couple jocks a clean T-shirt every week.
David Cullen is an alum, so maybe there's a few. But
information is faster. Data's faster, so you can find guys. We used to go – coach would find guys like Derek and I, you know, little rust on us. But then you could bring them in. But those guys be, you know, our type of guys be recruited by everybody now. I mean, they have information. They find guys. And there's more parity in college football. So you're going to show up and you're going to
– Less scholarships, Tarek. You have less scholarships. So you're going to lose some guys from small schools like Wisconsin. Let's take our state.
Yep.
Some of the small schools in our state that don't have weight programs, et cetera. And a lot of our guys, you saw them when they came in. They weren't developed. But after 2 years in our program, they changed.
That was one of them.
Yeah, and that's what we built our program on here. Well, you get that at the South Dakotas. They're up there. Nobody's recruiting South Dakota. They may have two kids a year that go Division I. Minnesota will take one. We might take one. Nebraska might take – that's it. Out of both Dakotas. And the rest of those kids are going – and they can play. They're big, raw-boned, big Swedish kids. You know, they're going to get big now. Big bone.
The
you know,
Swedish meatballs in the trench just taking
care of
business.
They're not meatballs. You know, they're not meatballs. You know, they fill out, and those cats are going to be ready to play. And then they're really motivated to come in here. If your guys think it's going to be an easy cakewalk, you got a problem.
Now, I think we need to make sure that Alabama knows that about Wisconsin, too, because after a couple of weeks of looking like a true opponent to these FCF's MAC schools, Alabama's going to just come in rolling hot. They're going to think that they're the top team. Now, of course, they just had that tough game, obviously.
Yeah, where they didn't exactly light it up.
Now, do you think that that is good or bad for the Badgers this week, Coach?
It's all about the Badgers. It's not about Alabama. It's not about how Alabama played. Alabama didn't play very well either. So their coaches are on them, too. So they're jumping on their coaches, but you're going to get blown out if you go to Wisconsin and play like that. Just like our guys are saying, you're going to get blown out if you play against Alabama like you played last week. Both teams are hearing the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's about who plays the best.
So, G-Man, what you don't understand, and Tarek, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're probably hearing the same thing I'm hearing, and it was I'm just hearing memories of getting an edge week. I'm hearing it from our coach. You got to get an edge every week, no matter what it is, coach. And you can expand on this. I mean you do your homework and you'd find something.
I'd make stuff up.
He'd make stuff up.
Doesn't make any difference what the edge is. They got to have an edge.
So what's this week's edge?
I haven't thought about it.
All right.
So, Coach, what about when we, you know, you stroke the other team and you tell them how great they are?
I learned that from Bob Devaney. That's coaching 101. All week you talk about how good the other team is and the problems you have. That's what you do.
But you tell us, yeah, the players, listen, I'm going to say some things.
Yeah, don't believe anything I say in the media. Do not believe anything I say in the media. I'm going to stroke that other team. I'm going to say stuff that's not true about how good they are and the problems that we have. Don't believe it.
Meanwhile, he'd build up our confidence and give us where their weak points were and where our strong points were. And then, you know, make other stuff up and just, you know, like they said some stuff about you and this and that. I mean, it was all weak.
And then we ambush them.
Yep.
We ambush them at 11 a.m. Saturday morning. And they walk in here, and they got their chest out. We ambush them, and you got to be physical, and you got to play four quarters. And if the pendulum swings, you don't flinch. You got to hang in there. And
so when you had Ohio State, number one, what was some of the things that you were saying in the media you weren't saying in the locker room?
We can't hold up against these guys. They're the number one team in the country for a reason. They have the best players. You know, and they're clean. Everything they do is clean, that they're basically unbeatable. And I'm telling my guys, don't believe a thing that I'm saying, because we work on these guys. Here's the one thing I'd say against Ohio State: we work on them. Everything we do in our program is to beat Ohio State, because they were number one when I took over. They win the league every year, so if we want to win the league, we have to beat them. So. And I tell our players, everything you do from weightlifting to out-of-season conditioning is about beating Ohio State. And so you've been preparing for them for a year. And if you guys are seniors, 4 years, 3 years, whatever it is. And you're ready. You're ready to play. And we're going to go out and kick their butts.
I mean, when Tarik and I were there in 92, 96, I think we were 500. You know, we tied them our Rose Bowl year. You know, our coach, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but 1992, I think, was probably your signature win. I mean, they were number three in the country or something like that. And, you know, we were unranked. And, you know, we weren't
a very good team.
We were a very good team.
But our guys believed, and they played hard. And yeah, they sure as heck weren't intimidated by an Alabama team that was – ranked really high, and come in and beat it. We beat them.
And 96.
Then going out the next year and beat them again.
96 is Chile's fault, so Coach Childress screwed that one up. Otherwise, we would have taken that one down. And that defense.
I agree with that.
They had
I wasn't Chile. I'm the head coach. I could have. I'll take responsibility. We should have run a sneak behind you, Derek, and we
right
won the game.
Fickle.
Right over Luke.
There we go. All right. Well, there's no Alabama or there's no Ohio State on the schedule this year, but there is possibly four top 10 teams. I want to talk about how those four top 10s will help us get ready for Ohio State next time. Next, it is the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. Sweet home. Continues live from Fitchburg, Great Dane, and we're talking a little bit in the
Who the hell played that intro music?
Sweet Home Alabama. Oh, Riley Yauch on the ESPN.
I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was appropriate.
You.
I really did. Don't be so touchy.
Thank you, Coach. Okay. I appreciate that.
I get fired up, Coach.
Don't be so touchy.
You're hanging around me too much.
I'd want to play. I'd want to play that all week. I'd play that in the locker room all week.
Great.
just upset you.
You're going to be singing it on the line.
Just upset you.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Have Forrest Gump and, running up and
That'd
down
be
the
you.
Field.
Yeah. Video it to you.
Those are the
We'd
voices.
We'd superimpose your picture on his face.
With your knee braces on.
Yeah. That was my freshman year right there as a kid.
Totally.
Those are the voices of Rose Bowl champion Tarik Salah, Derek Engler, and the inventor of the finger W. That's Coach Barry Alvarez. And we're talking a little bit about keeping up with the Joneses in the break. And you mentioned that facilities are an important part of that. But speak about how important it is to be playing the top teams in the nation, not just any, you know, bottom of the Big Ten or a MAC team, going for the big dogs, the Alabamas, and yes, four possible top 10 teams in the Big Ten, but Alabama's got to be an important statement piece for the university.
When I scheduled this game, I thought it was important. This is like a reward for your fans to see a quality team, national team like Alabama, nationally ranked, national champs at times, come into our house to play and us go down there. If we want to be a national power, you can't do that by playing lower level teams all the time. So when I had an opportunity to schedule Alabama, and I just thought it was the right thing to do for our program, for the exposure of the program, and for the future of our program.
Yeah, and Coach, you know, LSU was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Lambeau. And what a great setting. It was an iconic game.
By the way, that was, as a fan, as a spectator, just the most unbelievable college football experience. And I talked to hundreds of LSU fans, and they said this is quite possibly the best. And that was, Coach, I mean, that was phenomenal.
I agree with you. I did the same thing, and I was with, you know, with one of my old college teammates. He came in for that whole week, and we were up there, and we went out of our way to spend time with the LSU people, and they
loved it.
They showed up in Madison midweek and spent time here, and then went up there and spent time up there. I mean, it was
and they were in droves, but only they were dealing with flooding at the time. And so a lot couldn't make it, but they were there, and oh my gosh!
To give context, I talked to the bar up there, which is a huge bar, and I asked
the bar,
Jess Miller's the owner. I asked him what was the single biggest day in the history of your bar. He said that game, LSU versus Wisconsin. That's crazy. All the playoff games, everything. It was the biggest day up there.
That's amazing. And you mentioned right away, Coach, that sometimes you like to have them at Camp Randall. You like to go there too. What's the difference for both the team and the fandom when it is a home versus away game?
Well, obviously, more people, our fans, get a chance to see it here. They get to experience a team like that. And then for your team, they have to experience. They're going to go play in bowl games. We want to play in bowl games and win, play on the road. But go, you know, I wanted to show my guys. You can ask these guys, when we went to an away game, if it was, some of these communities aren't worth going through to show you anything. But you go to a nice spot. You go to bowl games.
Champagne's fun.
you go to some of these. You want to show them. We put them on the bus. And we take them around to show them the community. And I wanted to showcase Madison. I think we have a special city here. And I wanted to showcase Madison to the people from Louisiana and their fans. And when we went down there and played, same thing.
We were fortunate as seniors. We got to go to Vegas. We got to go to Hawaii. We got to go to the bowl game.
Well, it was. Think about this.
When we go to Vegas, I said, "Listen, I'm going to put them on a bus, and I'm going to take, because, you know, we're staying in Lake Las Vegas. We're like staying in up at the Dells."
Okay, got it.
Okay, that's how far out of Las Vegas we are. We're staying in a hotel in Lake Las Vegas
for good reason.
I brought these guys out to Las Vegas. They got to at least see it. So I took them through to the Strip.
They went through Caesars maybe or something.
Yeah, and I said, "Get out. You can walk. Nobody gambles. Don't bring any money." This was after a practice.
Yeah, it was great.
And walk through Caesars to see what a big casino's like. Go see what the Strip is like. You're here. We want you to see it.
We play the University of Hawaii, and it's over Thanksgiving. And Coach says we're going out early. And it was like another bowl. And he treated us that way and worked us the same way. We got to go. We had a choice. Go to the North Shore You want to see surfing, blah, blah, blah. You want to go to snorkeling, Hanama Bay. You want to – all these options. That was Coach. That was every bowl game. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, we battled at practice, but we were rewarded getting to have these experiences.
So
yeah,
when you went to Japan, what was the experience in Japan?
Well, that was serious business. And that all the
you got to win the Big Ten.
This was like burn the ships. We weren't able to go back. if we didn't win that game, he didn't necessarily say
this
that.
This is a one-way ticket.
Yeah, one-way ticket.
For sure.
I'm trying to think what we did. You know what I did?
We had one night.
Here's
out,
what
right?
I did. I contacted our people, some people from there, graduates that are there. There's an alumni association there, and I had them come, and I assigned players to alums one night. Was it one night?
Yeah, one night.
One night I assigned players to alums. And they took our players wherever they wanted. Some took them to their house for dinner. Some took them to restaurants for dinner and then gave them a tour of the city. So everybody had a little different experience, but it was something else to do that gave culturally – expose them.
No doubt. It was a great experience, that part of it. And then after the game, we got to go out and experience, like, Roppongi and these different districts. And we saw some historical stuff the next day that we were there before we got on the plane. But
it seems like you paid attention to that one.
When we were – we practiced. It was just – it was so intense. And there wasn't a lot of guys there because you could only take like 53 guys.
I mean, it was. Yeah. I'm gonna give you guys some freedom. I want you to enjoy this, experience this, because you'll remember it for the rest of your life. But I'm also gonna we're going goal line scrimmage, and Tommy Lasorda is gonna come out at the end. It was all of that.
In Japan, our diet was like the same until we visited the family or the alum. But we had the same, basically, hamburger, hot dog. Because we want
their food. We couldn't have their food. We couldn't eat, so we had to bring some.
It would have changed too much? Or why no Japanese cuisine?
It's not what our guys are accustomed to.
All right, well, we're going to go to
this
break.
This was a mission. Yeah. This was a mission beyond any mission in the history
of – you know, internals aren't used to raw fish. I mean, that could be bad, G-Man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Burn the ships.
Burn the ships. Yeah, ships. We've got one more segment for you coming up next. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN.
Spend my dollar. Park and holler. Need the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight.
We've got this far talking just about the Badgers on the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Wisconsin, but we've got a Packer game and the whole NFL's going. The kickoff happened and Jordan Love went down with a MCL sprain, right? But he's not the only person with a minor sprain to their MCL. Jake Ferguson, the Cowboys tight end, also has a minor sprain of the MCL. And for those of you who don't know, that is Coach Barry Alvarez's grandson. Isn't that right?
That is correct.
He's been doing pretty good down in Dallas.
Jake's had a good start, you know, into his second year. Played in the Pro Bowl. No, he's in his third year. Played in the Pro Bowl last year. He's having a nice go down there in Dallas.
Absolutely. He's on my fantasy team, but he's really good friends with Dak Prescott.
By the way,
is that correct?
G-Man, Jake could have played in our era. No question about it.
Hard-nosed?
Oh, no question.
Yeah. Well, most tight ends now are soft. They don't block, and he does it all.
He's an old-school player.
Jake's
sure.
a dog.
Jake's a dog. Absolutely. He's also a cowboy. But that's fantastic. I mean, like, it sounds like he is week to week. He may be playing, maybe not. But no matter what, he's really been succeeding down there. And you were telling me about his friendship with Dak?
No, he is. You know, I went down last year a couple games, but he introduced me to Dak. And Dak says, I love Jake. I said, not as much as he likes you, Dak. I said, he knows where his bread is buttered. Jake has really made a home down there. They really like him. I went out to practice, and Jerry Jones spotted me. He comes running over. We love Jake Ferguson. We love your grandson and what he does, what he brings to the team. And he brings life. And he plays offense like a defensive guy. And that's hard to find. Those guys are hard to find. He's a tough guy, and he's a good player, and he's having fun.
That's all that matters. All right, we're going to wrap it up real quick. Can I get a score prediction for you? Alabama comes to town. Tarik Saleh, what do you think? Final score.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go 24-17.
Who?
Do I have to tell you who?
All right.
Well, all right. Get off the fence.
Derek.
28-25 Badgers.
Badgers in a tight one.
Bucky by a billion. This has been the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison.